Please pray a moment with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text was just read. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson put into that phrase the whole essence of the American dream. Generations of immigrants would believe these words and come looking for their place in it. Even though Benjamin Franklin warned them that the roads are not paved with half-peck loaves, the houses are not tiled with pancakes, and the fowls do not fly about ready-roasted, crying, "Come, eat me." They wanted freedom from the government telling them what to do and how to live their lives. Sometimes they wanted freedom from religion, from telling them the same kinds of things. They wanted to come to a place where honest work and hard labor would give them good things to eat, a place to be with friends, a place where their children could grow up to prosper even more than they did. And you know what? They managed to make it come true under the blessings of God. We have all of these things in spades. We have the ability to do just about anything that we really put our minds to, given a little bit of life, a lot of liberty, and the ability to pursue happiness. Sometimes, however, I think we take it just a wee bit too far. We do not think that there is anything that we shouldn't be able to do, that we are free to do anything at all that we want, thank you. We want to have our burgers and fries and eat them too. As much as we think we're free, though, we really are not. We are enslaved in ways that sometimes we don't even really notice, enslaved to the fear of death itself. You see, we sometimes forget our sins bring upon us the sentence of death. Ever since that day when Adam and Eve, having everything that God could ever create for them put out in front of them, decided that they knew better than God, thank you, that apple would look really good in apple pie. When they took that upon themselves and decided to live freely of all restrictions, the sentence of death came down upon us because we decided, all of us together in Adam and Eve, that we would rather have things our own way, thank you. And God said, fine, to a certain extent. Let's see how you do with that. So how is that hope and change working for you? Every pain, every suffering, every death that comes upon us reminds us of this little bit of this reminds us a little bit of this coming sentence upon us. Every time we wake up in the morning and can't run quite as far as we used to, or there's a little bit of a creak in our step, or when we get a little ill, when we never get sick. Anytime these things happen, there's that wee bit of a reminder that sooner or later, that sentence is going to come upon us as it did upon everyone who has ever lived, including the Son of Man himself. So we try to cheat it. We take medications. We invest in medical science. We try to discover every possible medication to get away with it. We run more miles. We go to the gym. We try to restrict the foods that we would rather not eat, thinking maybe we can eke out yet one more day or one more year in our lives. We try to delay it, but still it comes. Sometimes very suddenly, after a very short life, sometimes after years and years and years of God's blessings, in our 80s or 90s, and even some cases in our hundreds. But no matter how hard we try, death is still there. That sentence still applies, because we still all have not had a fundamental change in our life. We still sin. And each and every one of us will take that trip to the grave sooner or later, save the Lord comes to bring an end to it all. Although we think we're in charge of our lives, we need to remember we really are not. Our lives either belong to the devil, to whom we are slaves in sin, or because we have been liberated in baptism from Satan, they belong to God. The one person our lives do not belong to is us. And if we try to push that, if we try to work against that, all we're going to do is either delude ourselves and discover sooner or later that everything we like and enjoy will sooner or later be taken from us, or we are going to fail, as everything else in this life fails. We must remember that we are still slaves on this earth to sin and death and the power of the devil, unless something changes. Sometimes we might even think that maybe we could make a deal with the devil, you know, like in Damn Yankees. But that doesn't work. He still owns us. Sometimes we think that maybe if things aren't going the way we would like them, that we can have a conversation with God and make a bargain. Okay, so maybe if I go to church a little bit more, or maybe if I pray an extra hour, or maybe if I will go to that person that I offended and explain to them that I really didn't mean it, maybe then God would give me that extra year of life. Maybe God would make me healthier. Maybe God would allow my spouse to live longer, whom I love dearly. But in the end, none of those bargains matter. There's only one thing that really matters, and that is that God himself has decided to change it once and for all. Jesus himself became a human being. You see, God isn't like some government bureaucrat who could care less what really happens to you. God is not like some piece of paper floating through a computer system where only a computer that can only count from zero to one actually makes decisions for you. God is someone who loved us so much that even though he knew we would be sinners, even though he knew that we would take this wonderful creation he made and trash it, even though he knew that we would be born separated from him forever, loved us still and made this world still, and before the foundation of the earth decided to do something about it and set in motion the plan so that his son, Jesus, would become just like us, to share our nature, to be as human as we are, to, as Hebrews later tells us, to be tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. To do this so that he could become a merciful high priest, not one in a rarefied atmosphere way, way away from us who makes decisions just because, but one who really knows what it's like to be us. Because you know what? He is just like us, as his human nature tells us. Because he did this and suffered every temptation that we experience, his death on the cross destroys death once and for all. It takes the power of the devil and breaks it once and for all. He releases us from our slavery so that we might live with him forever. Because, as he said in the book of John, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free from that power of sin, death, and the power of the devil. Now you do not have to be afraid of death or all the tiny little deaths along the way, the creak in your step, the little illness you didn't expect, the time away from your friends and relatives to recuperate. Do not have to be afraid of that anymore. Because now, rather than being the gateway to hell and eternal separation from God, Christ has sanctified the death of his redeemed so that we will live with him forever, so that death is the gateway into his eternal presence now for those who have faith in him. Now we do not have to fear death or sickness or illness or overreaching governments or overreaching computer systems, or other things which we think plague our lives. They can harm us none. The deed is done. One little word, Jesus, has felled them. And so now, take they our lives, good fame, child, or wife, let these all be gone. They have yet nothing won, because the kingdom belongs to us. And so it is that we can live free. Maybe not as free in the way that Thomas Jefferson thought we could live, but in a way even more profound than that. We are free to do what God has made us to do, to be his children, to care for him, to worship him and give him honor and thanks, to serve him in this world and to care for each other so that, you know what, when someone else is sick, we don't have to wait around for someone else to take care of it. We can reach out because we're free. And we can care for them because we're free. And they can care for us because, you know what, they're free in Christ too. All this will help us when life is sometimes sunny, when it's kind of rainy like Fort Wayne. It will help us no matter what happens in this world, because we know where the future really is, that the day will come when Christ will indeed bring an end to all of this, when he will bring an end to suffering and sorrow and grief and pain, when he will dry every tear from our eyes, and where we will live with him forever. And so, now we can live. We can live as servants of that high priest who really knows what it's like, because he has met all of our needs and provides all the strength we need to live in this life and in the life to come. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.